Good afternoon. Many a baffling crime has been successfully solved through the plodding persistence of some newspaper reporter. And today's Yankee Yarn is a classic example. The quest for Dean Bridgman Connor of Burlington, Vermont, became an international mystery. And I got the details from the man who solved it, Mr. A.J. Philpott, beloved dean of New England newspapermen and art and music critic of the Boston Globe. Here is the story Mr. Philpott told me. In the fall of 1894, Dean Bridgman Connor, son of the postmaster of Burlington, Vermont, left his home to accept a position in Mexico City. His family and intimate friends, the Dodgers, didn't like to have Dean go so far away to work, but he went and wrote back that he liked Mexico and was sending home a few souvenirs, some hand-wrought silver jewelry and opals, as Christmas gifts. The presents never arrived in Burlington, Vermont, but a telegram did, stating that Dean Connor had been stricken seriously ill with typhoid fever. His father immediately cabled the United States consul to spare no expense in obtaining the best possible medical care for Dean, and he asked to be kept informed of the boy's condition. A few days later, Mr. Connor received a letter saying, "Your son shows little improvement. He is in the American hospital on the outskirts of Mexico City, and on the enclosed photograph, I have marked with a cross the window of the room he occupies at the front of the building. I will personally see to it that everything possible is done for his care." The next letter from Mexico contained sad news. "Your son, Dean Connor, succumbed to the dread disease. I personally attended the funeral, placed an American flag on his casket, and left a large wreath of white lilies. And believing that you would want him to have the best, I ordered him placed in a brick and cement-lined vault. His personal things will be forwarded as soon as they have been released by the medical authorities. With deepest sympathy, I remain Thomas T. Crittenden, U.S. Consul General, Mexico City." And that was that. Now begins a long list of unexplainable events in the two-year quest for Dean Bridgman Connor. First off, Mrs. Prentice Dodge, a neighbor and close friend up in Burlington, suddenly had a hunch. And she told Dean's father, "I'm afraid you'll think I'm crazy, Mr. Connor, but I've got a feeling that Dean is alive and in trouble. I can't tell you why I think so. I just do." The postmaster shook his head. "I'm afraid it's just your nerves, my dear. We have all the official papers, and only today I got a bill for the funeral expenses from the Consul General. What better proof do you want than that?" Well, that night, Mr. Connor had a very vivid dream, in which he saw his son behind a window with iron bars. He was handcuffed, and he kept calling, "I'm not dead. I was kidnapped. They put another man in that grave." Connor woke up in a cold sweat, and he told the Dodgers, "I know that was Dean's voice calling to me. I'm sure he's alive and in trouble." But Mrs. Dodge repeated what he'd said to her, "Just your nerves." But the postmaster had the dream again and again, and he was so completely upset, Mr. Dodge said, "Look, let's go see the minister. He ought to be able to advise us." So they called on the Reverend Minot J. Savage, a prominent Unitarian pastor, and after listening to that story, he said softly, "If I were in your place, I should lay this matter before the Society for Psychic Research." Now, the head of the American branch of that society was calm, cold, cautious-minded Dr. Richard Hodgdon of Boston, an enemy of all fortune-tellers, crystal-gazers, and would-be spirit mediums. He did, however, have a profound respect for trance mediums, and on special occasions, he used the services of Mrs. Leona Piper, internationally famous for her astounding revelations and prophecies. Well, when the Dodgers and Postmaster Connor called on Dr. Hodgdon, he immediately arranged for a seance with Mrs. Piper, but he didn't tell her one word about Dean Bridgman Connor. Nothing important came through at the first seance, so Dr. Hodgdon asked them to bring down from Burlington all the letters Dean had written from Mexico, and the correspondence and the photographs from the American consul. These were sealed in a large envelope, and Mrs. Piper held them as she leaned back in her easy chair. The seance commenced with soft music. Then the lights were turned down. The medium breathed heavily for a few minutes and then began to speak. I seem to be on a ship in the harbor of Veracruz. There is a young man here who tells me his name is Dean Connor. He says he is going to Mexico City. But now the clouds are gathering, and so much darkness comes around him, I cannot see any more. The next night they held another seance, and this time Mrs. Piper had a more powerful control. And though quite unconscious, she said, "The young man you are anxious about was kidnapped from a back room of the American hospital. He is now being held a hostage in a small white house in the hills. I get the name of Cinch, Dr. Cinch, and I see a stone bridge and a statue. The house where the boy is being held prisoner is on a level with the head of that statue. Go to Pueblo, and you will find Dean Connor." Well, by this time, Dean's father was in a state of collapse. "I must know what happened to my boy," he kept saying. So Prentice Dodge volunteered to go to Mexico City and make a full investigation. When he reached the American hospital there, he learned that Dean Connor had not occupied a room on the front of the building as stated by the American consul, but had been placed in the small cell of the contagious ward at the rear of the building, exactly as Mrs. Piper had seen it when she was in the trance. He was further shocked to find that no American flag or lilies had been left by Mr. Crittenden. In fact, he was told by a hospital attaché, "There was no funeral service. The body was wrapped in a blanket and then put in a rough box, and two peons dug a pit out there in the field and buried it in lot 559. "I want that body exhumed," Dodge demanded. "Oh, that would entail complications. An American dying of a dread disease in Mexico? Oh, that is for the consul to decide, and the medical authorities, and the police department." So Mr. Dodge went to the consul general's office, and there he got a royal brush-off. The clerk said, "The young man's personal effects have been shipped to Vermont, and as far as this department is concerned, the case of Dean Bridgman Connor is officially closed. Consul Crittenden? Oh, he is away on a long journey." Boiling with indignation, Dodge went to police headquarters, but the officials merely shrugged and said, "The Americano is dead and buried. Why bother digging him up? Go on home and forget it." But Prentice Dodge didn't go home until he had arranged with a firm of Mexican lawyers to get some action. And when the grave was opened, of course, the story got into the American press. Into the Mexican press. It was picked up by the American newspapers, and by the time Mr. Dodge reached Vermont, the headlines were screaming, "Vermont man dies in Mexico mystery. Foul play feared in death of Dean Connor. Noted spirit medium claims Connor is alive." The public lapped up this international mystery in great shape. Now, one of several climaxes came when a box of evidence and some poorly made photographs arrived from Mexico City. And at the semi-official inquest, the physician who had attended Dean Connor since boyhood stated, "I do not believe this piece of skull came from the head of Dean Connor." The dentist who had done Dean's dental work testified, "These teeth do not check with Connor's chart." And several members of the Connor family failed absolutely to identify a lock of hair clipped from the cops in Mexico City. By now, papers in London, Paris, and Shanghai were carrying the Connor case. And as days went by, it became more baffling than ever. Because Mrs. Piper had been right about the hospital room, she was engaged for another series of seances. But she became ill, and several months went by before she was able to do her stuff. Dr. Hodgdon, head of the American Society for Psychic Research, was quite disgusted by all the publicity, Mrs. Piper's picture being in the paper every day. And he insisted that at all future seances be conducted in great secrecy, and that all answers to questions be made by automatic writing. And here's how they handled that angle. A pencil was placed in the medium's hand, which rested on a pad of paper. Then she leaned back on her pillow, closed her eyes, and was soon in a state of trance. As Dr. Hodgdon asked the questions, the pencil moved back and forth across the pad. The most interesting response was a crudely drawn Mexican landscape, a stone bridge and a fountain, with mountains in the background. The men watched breathlessly as the pencil placed a dot on one side of the mountain in a direct line with the head of the statue, and under it the word Zaragoza was spelled out. Dr. Hodgson whispered, "Are you trying to tell us that this is where we will find Dean Connor?" And the pencil wrote yes, and then added, "Pueblo, Pueblo, danger, hurry, hurry." And with a sign-off flourish, that seance was over. Oh, I forgot. The doctor asked, "Will you be able to continue to furnish information?" And the answer was, "Yes, but time is short." With a feeling of urgency, Prentice Dodge decided to return to Mexico at once and take somebody with him. And he chose for the long trip Dr. Spahawk, the Burlington, Vermont physician who had known Dean Connor all his life. Before they left, one of the most curious communicating systems ever used in crime detection was arranged. Mr. Dodge would telegraph questions from Mexico City to Dr. Hodgson in Boston. He would pass the questions to Mrs. Piper, who would go into a trance, obtain the answers by automatic writing from the spirit world, and they would be relayed by telegraph to Mexico. It was indeed a unique idea, but it didn't work out. And after a month of useless tramping around and finding nothing new, the two investigators returned to the United States. Dr. Spahawk hurried on to Burlington, Vermont, while Mr. Dodge stayed over in Boston to visit an old friend of his, Mr. A. Fowle, city editor of the Boston Globe. The Globe, as well as all New England papers, had been featuring the Connor case, and Editor Fowle was anxious to get a first-hand account of the latest developments. When he had heard Prentice Dodge's story, he spoke to the publisher, General Charles H. Taylor, who readily agreed the Globe should continue to feature the Connor case just as long as public interest held up. So a few days later, 34-year-old Anthony J. Philpott, one of the Globe's most experienced reporters, was called to the city editor's office. Mr. Fowle pointed to a great stack of newspapers and said, "Philpott, I want you to stop whatever you're working on and read every word of this Connor case. And when you've finished, come and tell me what you think about it." Philpott went through those files till he was bleary-eyed. And when he had finished reading everything that had been printed about Dean Bridgman Connor, he told his boss, "This is indeed a strange story, and I think some of the angles should be investigated further. What do you want me to do next?" Mr. Fowle said sharply, "Pack your bag for Mexico City. I'll get an expense voucher ready. And Philpott, I want you to understand something. You don't have to hurry on this assignment, because General Taylor wants the Boston Globe to break this mystery." Well, before A.J. Philpott took off for Mexico, he wanted to talk to Dr. Hodgson and the medium, Mrs. Piper. But the head of the Society for Psychic Research was so disturbed because the newspapers had made a sensation out of the case, he refused to see Philpott. Mrs. Piper, however, granted the Globe man several interviews. Then A.J. Philpott started south on one of the most amazing assignments a Yankee reporter ever tackled. What that ace reporter ran into and escaped from down there in Mexico will be told next week as I continue the story of A.J. Philpott's 10,000-mile quest for Dean Bridgman Connor.